Today is Father's Day, and as such, I believe it's appropriate for us to recognize our fathers. And I want you to know that fathers, this morning, you are the target of my message. This morning, I am shamelessly preaching directly at you. In preparation for a Father's Day message this morning, I read of the social trends and the current statistics of fatherhood in America, and I found myself discouraged by the grave condition of fatherhood in our country. In response to that data, countless organizations have been founded to address those issues, and here are a few of those organizations. The National Center for Fathering, the Fathers Network, the National Information Center on Fatherhood, the American Coalition for Fathers and Children, the National Fatherhood Initiative, the Fatherhood Coalition, the Institute for Fatherhood Studies, the Fatherhood Educational Institute, the Institute for Responsible Fatherhood and Family Revitalization, and many, many others. In fact, if you were to do a Google search for fathers or fatherhood, you would find millions of hits that expose the cultural crisis of fatherhood in our country and then offer help and solutions to those problems. But this morning, I stand before you not to address the cultural and social issues of fatherhood, although that is a worthy subject, I'm sure, but rather I want to address Christian fatherhood. And this morning, fathers, I want to give you four components of Christian fatherhood to help you be a successful Christian father. And of course, these components are found in the scriptures in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6 is our text this morning. Deuteronomy 6 is a charge to fathers regarding fatherhood. And from this passage, I present four components of Christian fatherhood. Let's pause for prayer before we look at the scripture. Lord God, I thank you for fatherhood. I thank you for the fathers that are here this morning, the Christian fathers that are under the sound of my voice just now. Lord, I thank you for our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, who model the perfect picture of a father. And God, this morning, as we go to the scriptures and we gain insight and understanding, as we apply principles of your word, I pray that you would make us the men of God that you would have us to be, that we might be right before you and right in our homes, and that you would use us as instruments for the next generation. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, beginning in verse 1, as was read just a moment ago. Now, this is the commandment. And these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. The first component of Christian fatherhood, I would suggest, is Roman numeral number 1 in your notes, law. Law. You say, amen, preacher, that's right. Every home needs a father who can lay down the law. Without a father in a home, there's no law in a home. And without a law in the home, there's no order in a home. And that's what we need. We need fathers who will rule with an iron fist. That's the problem with America these days. There's no fathers to bring law and order to the home. There's too much lawlessness in the home. The first component of Christian fatherhood is law. But notice that the law being described in Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 3, is not man's law. Neither is it a father's law. It is God's law. In fact, specifically, the law that Moses is referring to in Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 3, is the law found in the previous chapter in Deuteronomy chapter 5. If you'll take a moment and look there in Deuteronomy 5, you'll find it to be a review of the Decalogue, a restatement of the Ten Commandments. Then in chapter 6, verse 1, you'll notice there are three terms that are synonymous with law. Those terms are commandments, chapter 6, verse 1, statutes, and judgments. These three synonymous terms refer to God's law, certainly the Ten Commandments, but beyond that, all of divine instruction to man. And God's law is a fundamental, necessary component of Christian fatherhood. First, letter A, the law's purpose. Its purpose, the purpose for God's law, is given to us there in chapter 6, verse 3, that it may be well with you. You see, when we think of law, we think of the oppression and the suppression, the restrictions that prevent us from doing what we want to do. But the purpose of God's law is for our benefit. It's for our good. It's for our prosperity and our well-being. And King David understood the purpose for God's law very well. For in Psalm 119, he celebrated it using these very same three synonymous terms. The commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. If you'll turn your outline over, I have listed for you how David describes his appreciation for God's law in Psalm 119 using these same terms. You'll see commandments in Psalm 119, verse 47. I will delight in your commandments, which I love. In Psalm 119, verse 66, I believe your commandments. Verse 86, your commandments are faithful. Verse 127, I love your commandments more than gold. Verse 172, all your commandments are righteous. Also, the term statutes, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will meditate on your statutes. Your statutes have been my songs. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes. Repeatedly in Psalm 119, he says, teach me your statutes. Also the term judgments. Your judgments are good. Your judgments are right. Upright are your judgments. Your righteous judgments endure forever. Your judgments help me. And of course, the term law. I delight in your law. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. I love your law. Your law is truth. You see, folks, David understood the value of God's law. And he expressed his appreciation for it. And he understood that it was meant for the welfare of God's people. Now, this morning, I'm not only addressing fathers. Each of us must accept and embrace God's law. And whether you are a father or a mother or a boy or a girl, old or young, a primary component of our Christian lives is God's law. Not the 613 dietary and ceremonial laws that were given to the Jews, but as Jesus told his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so the first important component of Christian fatherhood is law. It comes with a purpose. It also, letter B, has a promise. It's promise. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 3 again. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it. That is the law, the commandments, the statutes, the judgments. That it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God and your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, this was a promise specifically given to Israel as a nation in preparation for them entering the promised land. However, in the same way principially, as you teach and observe God's law, Christian fathers, there will be great blessing in your home. And this principle is the very story of Israel. Israel's entire history is a testament to this principle. When Israel lived in obedience to God's commandments, statutes, and judgments, or his law, they were blessed. When they lived in disobedience to God's commandments, statutes, and judgments, his law, they were judged. They were sent into exile. They suffered the consequences of their disregard for God's law. And fathers, there are few things that are more important that you can do in your home for your family than making the precepts and the principles of God's word a priority. And I believe, principally, that there is a promise of blessing for your home because of that. The first component of Christian fatherhood is law. Number two, the second component for Christian fatherhood is love. Number two, love. Of course, That's the problem with fatherhood today. There are too many fathers who don't love their families as they ought, who disregard or neglect their wives and their children. There are too many fathers who abandon their families. There are too many fathers who don't spend time with their children. Pastor, don't you worry, I love my family. Well, that's all good and well, and I hope you do love your family, but the instruction given to us here in Deuteronomy 6 is not for you to love your family. It's for you to love your God. A love for God. Look at verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. First, there's a personal love for God, letter A. Personal love for God. These verses in Deuteronomy 6 are called the Shema. Shema is a Hebrew word that simply means to hear. Hear, O Israel. Shema, love God with your whole being. And you see, folks, Israel's relationship with God was not just a relationship of law. And that is often what we think of, that Israel was to keep the Ten Commandments. They were to follow all of the fine detailed points of instruction given to them in the Torah, and then God would be satisfied. Well, no, actually, it was to be a relationship of love. And thus, the commandments, the statute, the judgment, the law, hear, Israel, love God with your whole being. And whether you are a father this morning or not, Christian, it is crucial that you love God supremely. Now, the Hebrew word for love used in verse 5 is aheb. And it refers to the act of the mind and the will. It is not the love of fuzzy feelings and emotional sentiment that is stirred by a revival meeting or a Christian concert, but rather it is a volitional, decisional commitment that is further accented here by the comprehensiveness of this personal love. We are to volitionally love God with our entire being. Never mind if man is two parts, body, soul, or if man is three parts, body, soul, spirit, or if man is five parts, body, soul, spirit, mind, heart, six parts, strength. Never mind all of that. The point is this, you are to love God with your entire being. We should be driven to love God. The second important component of Christian fatherhood is love, personal love for God. Now at times, I have said that the greatest thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. And I think that's good counsel, and I give that counsel. However, with the scripture laid open before us this morning, let me change that counsel to this. Fathers, the greatest thing you can do for your children is to love God. Love God. That's what the text says. Is teaching. Secondly, I'll grant you and give you, let her be parental love for children. Parental love for children in verses 7 through 9. Verse 7, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. That is the statutes and the judgments and the commandments, the law. Teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Parental love for children. Christian father, you teach your children how to play ball. How to hunt and how to fish and how to read and how to ride a bike and drive a car and whatever else you know. But do you diligently teach them God's law? Every circumstance in your life, every circumstance in your home is a teachable moment in which you can talk of God all the time. And a Christian father's love for his children ought to be practiced and evidenced in the diligent teaching of God's word. Let me give you some practical ways to accomplish this. How about faithful church attendance? Dads, Christian fathers, your family needs to be under the sound of Bible teaching and preaching. Bring your family to church. How about Christian education? I will give a shameless plug for Fourth Baptist Christian School. Make the sacrifice so that your children can gain a Christian worldview in their elementary and secondary education. How about Christian radio? A shameless plug for WCTS. How about reading Christian biographies, reviewing Bible catechisms, family devotions, spiritual conversations around the table, in the car, before tucking the kids into bed at night? And dads, I don't care how you do it and when you do it. It doesn't matter where it happens, but the greatest way you can love your children is not just to buy them expensive gifts, but to train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In fact, Fourth Baptist Church members, that is a priority that is even part of our church covenant, to religiously educate our children. And that principle is found in this proof text in Deuteronomy chapter 6. But in all of this, our children need to see our sincere love for God, letter A. And sometimes we get these two out of balance. We're very zealous about letter B, our parental love for our children, and we teach our children, we instruct them, and we grind. But know that letter A is so important. They know you love to play ball. And they know that you love to fix the Ford truck because those are the things that you teach them enthusiastically. Forgive me for the dig at fixing Ford trucks. Ford trucks, Chevy trucks. I drive a Dodge minivan. You teach them to fix the truck because you love to do that. You teach them to play ball because you love to do that. Teach them to love God because you love God. So the second great component of Christian fatherhood is love, love for God. Let's continue reading, and if you'll indulge me, I'll read verses 10 all the way through verse 25. The greater context, so it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently teach the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies. Another synonym for statutes and judgments and commandments and laws, testimonies, and his statutes which he has commanded you. Verse 18, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. There's the promise again, that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all of your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. Then, if you will, someday in the future, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us this land, the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. The third component of Christian fatherhood from these verses I would call legacy. Number three is legacy. And Christian fathers, it is necessary for you to create a link for your children, to leave a legacy for your children so they will not forget their past, where they have come from, and what God has done for them. According to verses 10 through 12, we must not forget the past. That's letter A, the past. It's easy for my generation and the current generation to enjoy the good things that we didn't work for. My grandfather's generation endured tough times wars and depression. Maybe my parents' generation worked hard to build what currently is, but as for me, I get to enjoy it all. But in my inherited prosperity, it's easy to forget God and what God has done in the past. And so a part of the legacy that you must leave for your children is an understanding of the past. But then letter B is perspective. Perspective. The legacy of the past will provide them a perspective for the future. You see, if I were to ask my father, what is the meaning of God's word? Verse number 20. Or if my son were to ask me, what is this all about? I'm not only telling them of the past, letter A, I'm giving them perspective on that past, and a legacy answer boasts of what God has done for us and among us, giving perspective to the next generation. I use the word perspective here because history always needs explanation and interpretation. Even today, the revisionist history that is occurring in our culture is an effort to rewrite the meaning of what has taken place in the past in our country, namely our Christian heritage. And there are new perspectives on our history that eliminate the place of God and the Bible in our country's founding. And so we must be careful in the interpretation and the explanation of our history so that our children might have a proper perspective or worldview. The components of Christian fatherhood are law, God's law. Its purpose is for our well-being. Its promise is so that we might prosper. The second component is love, not love for our wife or for our children, but love for God, a personal love for God, first. Secondarily, a love, a parental love for our children. And that is accomplished not by giving gifts, but by teaching them the precepts and the principles of God's word. We must leave a legacy, number three. A legacy is explaining the past, not just the facts, but the meaning of that past for our children. And then a fourth component of Christian fatherhood, I suggest, is loyalty. Loyalty. And the loyalty that we must have, Christian fathers, is not a loyalty to our spouse. It's not a loyalty to our children. It's not a loyalty to our family. It's a loyalty to God. And I draw your attention to chapter 7, a few more verses if I may. I know we've covered a lot of text. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. When God has driven them out from before you, and when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you, Israel, to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love in you nor choose you because you were more in number, because you were extra special. In fact, you were the least of all the peoples. God wanted his people to demonstrate their loyalty to him, first, letter A, in purity. Demonstrated by purity. You see, folks, Israel was a holy nation. They were set apart to the Lord. Therefore, they were not to intermarry with the heathen nations, but rather they were to destroy every element of their pagan worship. And you see, folks, personal purity from sin and personal separation from the world is a matter of loyalty to the Lord. I cite 1 John 2:15. I cite Romans 12, verse 2. As Christian fathers, you must guard your family from turning away from following the one true God to serve other gods and help maintain purity in your home. Chapter 7, verse number 4. I'm not speaking of graven images or of stone or wood. But rather, fathers, there are relationships that might be polluting your children and turning them away from Him. There may be activities that are polluting your family by setting something else above and before God. And I could rant and rave about recreation and entertainment and every cultural vice that we face, but I simply ask you to consider this principle that is set forth here and make application of it with all discernment. Christian fathers, you ought to be loyal to your spouse. You ought to be loyal to your children, to your family. We need fathers that are loyally committed to their families. But first and foremost, to God. And that's demonstrated by purity. And then as we finish, chapter 7, verse 7, as I read, God chose Israel because He loved Israel. Verse 8, because the Lord loves you, because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God. The faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And He repays those who hate Him to their face. To destroy them, He will not be slack. With him who hates Him, He will repay him to his face. Therefore you shall keep the commandments, the statutes, the judgments. We could say the ordinances. We could say the testimonies. We could say the law, which God has commanded this day to observe them. You see, God wanted His people to demonstrate their loyalty to Him, observing His law, verse 11, because of, letter B, privilege. Privilege. Folks, do you realize the privilege that we have, not as Jews, but as Gentiles? For the very same Jehovah Yahweh God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God as well. He is a mighty God who has redeemed us from the bondage of sin, verse number 8. He is a faithful God, verse number 9. And God so loved us. He loved Israel. Remember, He loved Israel. That's why He chose Israel. But God also loved us that He gave His only Son to die on a cruel cross, that whoever would believe should not perish but have everlasting life. That is our redemption. That is our salvation. And through Jesus Christ we have been adopted. We are children of God. It demands our loyalty. Now, because I am speaking to many this morning who are not fathers, I want you to change the title of my message from four components of Christian fatherhood to four components of Christian childhood. For you see, as children of God, we all would do well to heed the instructions that are given to us in Deuteronomy 6 and 7. We must obey God's law. We must love God supremely with our whole being. We must be careful to remember the legacy of what God has done in the past. And then we must remain loyal to the one who has chosen us to be a holy people, a priesthood for Him. Let's pray. Lord God, we owe our allegiance to You alone because You have loved us and You have redeemed us. God, this morning I pray for our Christian fathers. God, I know that the wicked one would like nothing other than to defeat fathers in their homes, to destroy families, to disillusion the next generation with a bitterness about the things of God. Lord, I pray that You would equip and enable and empower Christian fathers to be the men of God that You would have them to be. Lord, for the many others that are under the sound of my voice this morning who are not men, who are not fathers, but Lord, perhaps as children of God, that we would recognize that these components are critical for each of us. I pray, God, that You would find us to love You supremely above all. In Jesus' name I pray.